Chris Gibson, I wonder if I could presume on you. We're about to undertake a huge World War II part of our programming on D-Day as it comes up. And I wonder, you are a colonel, you know your military history. When I say the words D-Day, what comes to your head?
Well, it's really hard to describe, quite frankly. Just the thought of, I think about the escarpment there and what it must have been like to be on the Higgins boat and moving towards the shore with all the artillery, the close air support, the machine gun fire raining down, the Germans trying to coordinate their indirect fire to bring effect, some of the lads not even having to swim. And, you know, I just can't describe it. I'll tell you that I'm in awe when I meet folks like that. When I saw Spielberg's presentation, it really resonated for me because my experience in combat, and in fact, in the time I was wounded, I lost my hearing for about 3 seconds, and then it pops back in. This was an RPG attack. So, you know, when I went back and watched the movie again after I'd been in combat again in Iraq, and then I just saw he must have had some really good advisors on that, because you get the real sense of hell on earth of what it's like to be in the middle of that intense gunfight. And the casualties were just horrific. The first wave that hit the beach there, I mean, most of them were hit in some form or fashion, many killed. And to just continue to move forward and to get up that escarpment and to move forward and get into the hedgerow. And so when we see survivors of D-Day, you're just looking at just some sense of immortality. And, you know, what that generation did, and I think so incredibly chronicled by Tom Brokaw, they survived the Depression. They then fought the war, and then they came back and really tried to put it behind them. You know, so much effort today really trying to help reintegrate veterans in terms of their physical disabilities and their emotional scars that they have, and it's all incredibly wonderful and very important. And then you reflect on what it was like for that generation, and they were just expected to get back in, you know, to get back into life. And talking to some of those folks, they didn't sleep well at night either. They just didn't talk about it. And they went to work building our country and moving it forward. They have my highest regard and respect. And everything that they taught the next generation, which taught me, the Vietnam veterans taught me, I feel the sense of responsibility, a long line of folks who have stepped forward to protect our cherished way of life.
Chris, have you ever been in a Higgins boat?
No, I have seen them at museums, but I think Spielberg did a really good job of bringing to life in that film, Saving Private Ryan, what it must have been like to be moving towards the shore. And of course, there's so much that happened before that day. There had been a wide-ranging attempt to deceive the Germans as to where we were going to land. Pas-de-Calais, is it, you know, we're going to be on these beaches? Normandy. And so when the boats are coming just before dawn, and then the dawn breaks, and then the Germans know it's on at that point, and then it's just a matter of physics. It's trying to bring to bear the maximum amount of firepower on human life. And, you know, you get a real sense of just how desperate these fights are. And I would hope a real sense of that, how important it is to have diplomacy that gets us towards peace.
So, you know, Eisenhower was supposed to have said it was the Higgins boat that won the war, because for those who are listening and don't know about it, it's that front part that would go down and let people right off. Otherwise, they had to go over the side. And when I was at the World War II Museum, we did an hour with them down in New Orleans. That was Higgins' home, and that's where Higgins invented the Higgins boat. And this museum is just extraordinary. I mean, everything from the planes, the fighter planes, and the Higgins boats, they're all there. It's amazing. Mm. This was a different kind of war, though, than we have, you know, your wars, because everybody had to go. You know, I mean, it was a democratic small d war. Do you ever think about that?
Certainly. I've thought about that and the impact, of course, that it had cascading through American life. And again, I think Brokaw does a great job of describing that. The experience was so universal that it didn't even seem to have those who had lived it, they were very selfless in the sense that they didn't try to claim any special status because they felt that everybody else had done it.
And didn't even want to talk about it.
And many did not want to talk about it. And of course that, you know, gave way to some really serious issues for some in that generation. But for our generation, you know, I think about just how, and I mentioned in awe, but also how grateful we are that we had Americans that stepped forward and put a stop to what was unimaginable had fascism, had Nazism succeeded in its diabolical plot, what that would have meant for humanity, for freedom, for spiritual life. I can't even think about what that would have been like, and we're just very indebted to that generation that they stopped it.
Could it have succeeded? Do you think that the Nazis could have won that war?
Well, I mean, that's a very deeply philosophical question, actually. I don't think so. And it's, you know, because I'm a very optimistic person. And I think at the end of the day that good does win out over evil. But you know what? There were some days in the late 30s that, you know, looking back on it from a historical standpoint, that you could have questioned it. I mean, look at Great Britain. They'd fought that war largely by themselves for a period of time. And, you know, those were some very dark days in the history of that country. And, you know, even in the early part of the war for us, when you think about what that was like, Pearl Harbor, and some of the early months after that, and some of the hard lessons learned we had in terms of putting campaigns together. You know, I mean, in the German army had a prowess that in some respects almost seemed insurmountable, but it was, I think, the democratic will of the American people instantiated in the army and a sense of goodness working in conjunction with allies that overcomes. And then, so there's this moment, you know, when we're moving across Europe, when there's an ascendancy, there's a feeling of, yes, we're going to do this. And then they uncover the camps. And, you know, for those that, you know, went through that, it's, you know, there's this juxtaposition of a belief that that goodness is going to prevail, and then seeing that.
Chris Gibson, I always love talking to you. And I think I should remind everybody that Chris Gibson was, you know, a much decorated soldier, colonel, and he runs for Congress. And when we come back, I want to talk to him about that.
Thank you, Alan.